from DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
There's no doubt that quarterbacks are a big part of the conversation in college football thus far this season. That's true every single year. It's even more true this year. And Dennis Dye from CBS Sports kind of notices what a lot of us have noticed here is that what's kind of interesting when you look at the perennial playoff teams like Clemson and Alabama, they're both playing two quarterbacks. And really, if you include Georgia in this as well, who has played Justin Fields in both of its games thus far this season, you've got the top three teams in the country kind of all with at least some form of a two-quarterback situation. I want to read you some from Dennis Dodd here in a moment, and then I want to explain why I think that Dodd's narrative on this is just flat wrong, and frankly, it's sort of unfair to Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. In other words, the point I kind of want to lay out here is I don't think the quarterback situation at Georgia right now is similar to the one in Alabama involving Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts, or the one at Clemson right now involving Kelly Bryant, last year's starter, and Trevor Lawrence, the sort of hotshot freshman. But Dennis Dodd apparently does. Here's what he writes at CBSSports.com about this sort of modern age we're living in of national championship contenders having two quarterbacks. Dodd says at Clemson, number one Alabama and number three Georgia, they're staking their seasons. Ooh, very dramatic here. They're staking their seasons on two-headed quarterbacks. This is basically unprecedented, Dodd writes. By doing so, all three are either trying to placate a rising star or keep a current starter happy while juggling all the things that make quarterback culture so maddening. Egos, parents, and playing time. Yes, those young kids and their egos. That's Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, kind of sort of, I think, pushing the panic button there, the alarm of, oh, it's destined not to work when you've got two good quarterbacks. It's a problem for Alabama. It's a problem for Clemson. It's a problem for Georgia. But as I said, I don't think you should include Georgia in the same category that you include Clemson and Alabama. And by doing so, I really think you're being unfair to both Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. Let me explain why I feel this way. Let me start with Jake Fromm. Fromm is a very different quarterback than the two quarterbacks that have been at their programs the longest for Clemson, Alabama, Jalen Hurts and Kelly Bryant. The reason why there's a quarterback controversy at Alabama is because Jalen Hurts, Jalen Hurts just wasn't that good. The Bear, Chris Felica from ESPN.com, had a really interesting stat to start the season. That despite the fact that Tua Tagovailoa didn't play very much a year ago, returning wide receivers on Alabama's roster for 2018, according to The Bear, Chris Felica, had caught 8 touchdown passes in 2017 from Tua Tagovailoa. They had caught just 4 from Jalen Hurts. Maybe that's a little bit of a misleading stat, but nonetheless, the picture here is, in terms of delivering the ball to multiple wide receivers, even in a sort of part-time, short-term duty a year ago, Tua Tagovailoa was better for that than Alabama, than Jalen Hurts was. You know, the same thing is kind of true for Kelly Bryant at Clemson. Now, give Bryant some credit. He certainly rallied Clemson to the win on the road against Texas A&M on Saturday, but last year, his touchdown-to-interception ratio was unspectacular, to say the least. In 2017, he was 13 touchdowns against 8 picks. Far better numbers Jake Fromm for Georgia. And you know, when you look at Kelly Bryant and Jalen Hurts, the reason why we're even talking about other quarterbacks for those jobs at both Alabama and Clemson is because that the incumbent starting quarterbacks in some form or fashion were just having a hard time holding on to the job. But if you look at Georgia in 2017, there was never a point in that season when Georgia considered putting another quarterback into the game. And by the way, in the second half of last year, it had a quarterback it could have put into games. It had another 5-star in Jacob Eason. But Fromm never ceded the job in any form or fashion. There was never a debate among fans about giving playing time over to somebody else. Fromm simply was rock solid as the starting quarterback for UGA. And thus far through 2 games, the same thing has been true. Fromm's numbers have been very good. And while Justin Fields is probably good, there's no reason right now to take Jake Fromm out of games, which makes, I think, Fromm different from Kelly Bryant and Jalen Hurts, who've, through ineffective play, have kind of created quarterback controversies for Clemson, Alabama. And, you know, much the same way on Justin Fields. This narrative that Dennis Dodd writes about at CBSSports.com is also, I believe, a bit unfair to Fields, because the words that that Dodd uses here are things like ego and parents and playing time. We've heard no such thing from Justin Fields on this kind of stuff. We've heard that from Alabama, from both quarterbacks. Tua Tagovailoa has said his piece about how he almost transferred. Jalen Hurts' dad said his piece about the fact that Hurts would transfer. Jalen Hurts' public comments here to start the summer camp back in August were very much of the mindset of, you know, feeling mistreated by Alabama. There's a lot of public mess with the Alabama quarterback situation, but Justin Fields has been a model teammate. And his dad, Pablo Fields, who we sort of most closely associate with Justin here, has been a model citizen as well. Remember the tweet from not too long ago with Justin Fields' dad and Jake Fromm side by side, arm in arm, and Fields tweeting about iron sharpening iron and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he's saying all the right things and doing all the right things. So it's not fair to lump Justin Fields in the category of prima donna freshman quarterbacks who want to play or they're going to transfer. Now, eventually, one of these two quarterbacks may indeed transfer. But as of right now, both the quarterbacks at Georgia are playing out exactly the way they need to. Fromm is looking very solid as the starting quarterback, and Justin Fields is seemingly content, at least right now, in that backup role. Now, this week, when Kirby Smart met with the media, he did acknowledge the sort of, elephant in the room here, that we are in sort of a transfer age of quarterbacks. He's aware of that. The sort of two-quarterback system, I think that Kirby acknowledges some of the realities of that, but he says, listen, for him, it's really more about it's about more than just getting two quarterbacks together. Kirby Smart wants three quarterbacks effective and able to play for the Dogs. Here is how Kirby sort of addressed his own quarterback situation a little earlier in the week.
Yeah, I certainly think that it's very important to have three quarterbacks on any roster, because when you don't have three, you're a play away all the time. And I think that's no better evidence than in NFL, because those guys usually carry three on a roster and they have emergency guys. But it's become more and more of a trend because I think, A, guys have left more often now, and B, guys get injured because they're spread and they're running more. So you've got to have the ability to protect the quarterback, and you've got to have ability to have two quarterbacks that can play.
So listen, I mean, obviously there's a reality here that at some point in time, maybe Fromm or Fields will become unhappy with the way that they're either sharing playing time or losing playing time at the expense of the other. I can't promise or guarantee that won't ever happen at some point in time, but I think it's wrong to say that's happening right now. I think we can look at the situation in Alabama and say, obviously, that's what's going down. These two quarterbacks are having a very hard time coexisting. But there is no seeming issue, at least publicly, with Jake Fromm and Justin Fields in terms of their ability to coexist. And, as much as Kelly Bryant may have played well for Clemson this past Saturday, eventually I think that Trevor Lawrence simply overtakes Bryant because I believe he's the better overall quarterback prospect. But the situation here at Georgia is nowhere near as predictable. Justin Fields, in the brief let me try that one more time. In the brief glimpses that we've got of him, looks really good. But you know what? So far, Jake Fromm still looks very much solid in the role as the Georgia starter. Now, speaking of Fields, Kirby Smart was also asked about him when he addressed the media on Monday. And the question that was phrased this morning I thought was really interesting. Is there a need to get Justin Fields into a game? And I believe the way the reporter worded this was, while the game's, quote, still in the balance. In other words, we've seen Fields play mostly in mop-up duty thus far this season. Is there a need to sort of get him into a close game at some point in time? Now, for what it's worth, Kirby sort of sidesteps that idea, but does address the notion of continuing to get Fields ready to go here. Here's more from Kirby.
I think the important thing for Justin is that he continues to improve. He's worked hard, and we want him to continue to improve as a player, and that's what's going to make our team better, and that's what's important to his future, to continue to do that. Love to get him an opportunity to get in these games.
So listen, I think what you have here is Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports is not intentionally trying to be unfair to Georgia, but I believe with lumping the Georgia situation in with Clemson, Alabama, he has accidentally been unfair to UGA. There's no example yet whatsoever that the presence of both Fromm and Fields on the same roster at the same time is a problem. So far, they seem to be coexisting just fine. And around here, as we've said over and over again, that good players having more than you need is never a bad thing. I think that's also true at the quarterback position as well. Georgia's got Jake Fromm, who's a very quality starter. Got Justin Fields, who's one of the most dynamic backups in the entire country. That's a recipe right now that's working for Georgia, and my prediction is it'll continue to work throughout the rest of this season at least. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented by Marco's Pizza. We're glad you're with us here. No matter how you get to us, live on video, Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Dog Nation Twitter feed. We're also on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form pretty much wherever podcasts can be found, the worldfamousdognation.com, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, just wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for checking out Dog Nation Daily there as well. And very special thanks to Marco's Pizza for making it all possible. We invite you right now to say hello, Primo, with a great offer. No coupon to clip, no promo code to remember. Simply go to Marcos.com and take advantage of two medium, two topping pizzas for $6.99 each. It's every store, every day, the Italian way. You can go to Marcos.com and you can be enjoying that three cheeses blended, melted together on top of that authentic Italian crust, the world-famous Gianmarco family recipe in the sauce, everything else that makes Marco's Pizza oh so good. And by the way, shout out to Williams-Brice Stadium on Saturday in their concession stand. The pizza of choice for the folks there at Williams-Brice, you guessed it, was Marco's Pizza. That's maybe the only good thing about Williams-Brice Stadium. But for those dog fans going to the concession stand, that was definitely a good thing to see a little Marco's Pizza there in the concession stand. All right, we've got Mike Griffith coming up in just a couple of minutes. When we talk to Mike, one of the things that we'll get into is the quarterback situation there at Georgia and, you know, kind of what the dynamic is between Jake Fromm and Justin Fields right now. I'll ask Mike his thoughts on kind of what I had to say off the top of the show there. Let me also address another subject here as we go around the doghouse, brought to you today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. You know, one of the topics coming off the South Carolina game, in a game in which Georgia was very dominant, one of the few questions of what could be better that's really been asked, but Georgia fans have been asking it somewhat frequently here is, you know, what's going on with Demetrius Robertson? We saw him get the handoff, took it for a touchdown in game one, have not really seen him target in the passing game, you know, whatsoever. Is everything okay with D-Rob? Is there something to be worried about with D-Rob? Now, I can't pretend to know that the tweet from Robertson I'm about to show you was actually completely in response to all that, but the circumstantial evidence here seems to suggest that it was. Concerns about D-Rob, maybe this tweet from Robertson kind of changes all of that. Here's what Robertson's message to Dog Nation was. I love my UGA teammates and coaches. We are all family and we're brothers. You guys have been awesome. I'm glad I'm back home. Hashtag go dogs. That's Demetrius Robertson from last night. So any concerns about Robertson? Maybe they're sort of calmed and quieted down by the tweet there talking about how much he's loving things right now. And, you know, a reason for why maybe he felt the need to tweet that. If we had to guess, we could look at some of the things that Kirby Smart said recently. Let's go back to the post-game press conference after South Carolina on Saturday when Robertson wasn't targeted and some dispute about how much he was or wasn't in the game. Kirby Smart kind of came to Robertson's defense saying maybe he played more than you realize he did. Here's Kirby then.
He played a ton. He just got in situations where he was blocking. He had a couple times where the route, that pass is called and the read went the other way. But I saw him out there a lot.
So Kirby Smart says, despite the fact that you didn't see him catching footballs, really seeing him targeted, he was out there on the field, he was doing his job. And then the debate comes up of, well, how much of that was sort of late fourth quarter stuff when other backups were in the game? Does that sort of suggest that somehow, you know, Robertson's not a big part of the plan here for the Georgia offense? On Monday, Kirby Smart addressed all that one more time. Here is Kirby again this week talking about his wide receiver, Demetrius Robertson.
Yeah, I don't know that Demetrius didn't get on the field earlier. I thought that Demetrius played a good bit and will continue to. He's going to have to compete in practice, and we'll always play the best players here. And when those guys are at the top of their game, we'll have a good rotation going. I think right now at the wideout position, we've got good depth because we've got guys that can do different things. A lot of guys that are really physical, maybe a fast guy, maybe a vertical threat guy. But at the end of the day, when you turn the tape on, the guys that get open are going to be the guys that play. And South Carolina did a good job in press of pressing some of our guys. It's a good thing we could run the ball because they had our hands on a lot of our wideouts, and creating separation is really important.
All right, so two things for me here on this. First of all, I think this is a very relevant topic because I think at some point Georgia's going to play a close game this season, and having the deep threat that Demetrius Robertson brings to the table is going to be crucial to win a game like that. So I don't think it's inconsequential that Robertson hasn't, you know, been targeted for catches as of yet. I think that's important to bring up here. The other thing here is you can't help but notice that there is a degree of difference about Kirby Smart's two answers on Robertson from the last couple times he's met from media, Saturday and then on Monday. On Saturday, he says, hey, Robertson's out there. He was just blocking and doing things like that. on Monday, it almost seems like he suggested that maybe Robertson wasn't doing as good a job of getting open as he could have been being pressed there at the line of scrimmage. If you listen closely to Smart's words, it almost seems like the description for why Robertson wasn't getting catches slightly different. Whatever the real truth is, it's the kind of thing that I think Georgia fans ought to look to see resolve itself here over the course of the next couple of weeks. Because as I said, the best of Georgia on offense this season, I think, includes Demetrius Robertson being as physical as Kirby needs for his wide receivers to be, but also providing that extra deep threat dimension that, with all due respect to other Georgia wide receivers, I don't think anyone else can provide quite to the same degree that Demetrius Robertson is capable of. That's Around the Doghouse here on a Dog Nation Daily, brought to you today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, which provides foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space encapsulation. They offer a lifetime of support, so give them a call right now at 678-ESOG-NOW. That number once again, 678-ESOG-NOW. You can have one of their qualified professional technicians come out to your home and look at you, whether it's a cracked foundation, a wet basement, or a damp crawl space. They are the ones you trust because they're the only foundation repair company the Dog Nation trusts and the only foundation repair company with a full-time engineer on staff. So check out Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Also right now, it's time to check out our buddy Mike Griffith, doing a great job covering the Dogs for DogNation.com. Pretty provocative thoughts on everything happening with Georgia as it heads towards Middle Tennessee State on Saturday. Good to have you with us as well here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Say hello to Mike Griffith here from DogNation.com, who's just been killing it, publishing all kinds of really fascinating content. Mike, I'm looking forward to reading every word and have enjoyed reading every word thus far. I dealt with a couple subjects off the top of the show, the quarterbacks and Demetrius Robertson. I want to hear from you on both of those before we're done, but let me start on a different topic here for a moment, if you don't mind. We continue to get a lot of questions coming in about the scenario at left tackle right now, where Andrew Thomas leaves Saturday's game, as you know, with the ankle injury. Not really seen this week at Georgia practice. Is it safe to say right now that this looks like May's job again for this Saturday against Middle Tennessee State? Is it as simple as that there for Georgia in this regard, that maybe little reason to play Thomas, so therefore you don't risk anything and you leave Thomas there on the bench to get ready to go on the road to Missouri? Is that your best guess as of right now?
Yeah, I mean, until until Andrew's able to get back out there at practice, there's no point in pushing him to be out there if he's not 100%. You've got a long season ahead. I think that's the end answer for a lot of these things. I mean, it's a 15-game season. You know, I remember back, Brandon, when it was an 11-game regular season before the SEC championship game, and we'd be talking about being more than a fourth of the way through the season right now with this third game, but. You know, with a 15-game season, as it looks like Georgia's going to have, or at least 14 games, there's no point in rushing these guys. And the other thing is, you know, Georgia's got a lot of quality depth. I mean, maybe there was a time when there wasn't another guy and the drop-off would have been just humongous. And I would say Andrew Thomas is much better and more experienced than Cade Mays, but, you know, you're not playing Auburn this week. You know, you're playing a bye game. You're playing a team that's coming here to lose. You're paying him $1.5 or $1.75 million to show up and be overmatched and get experience, and guys like Cade Mays can handle this type of matchup.
And listen, I was very impressed with what Mays showed on Saturday. I think it speaks to Georgia's, you know, the way this program has risen in stature over the course of the last couple of years, that you can replace a left tackle, a guy that I think is, you know, a potential All-American candidate in Andrew Thomas, and not immediately see drop-off against South Carolina. I think it speaks to Mays as a player, but also the work that Kirby Smart's done on the recruiting trail. I mean, doesn't that moment for you as much as anything else sort of symbolize, you know, the stature that Georgia's attained here?
No question. I mean, we saw it against South Carolina. I mean, they completely wore out the Gamecocks. I mean, those were two different teams in the second half. And, you know, Georgia was fresh and kept circulating bodies in there and well-conditioned. And, they're going to overwhelm Middle Tennessee. It doesn't matter. You know, Brandon, I think you could play left tackle. against Middle Tennessee, you could do some things to roll the pocket. But in all seriousness, I think your analysis is spot on. I think that it's Cade Mays until Andrew's able to go, and you hope he's back for Missouri.
I thought it was very interesting how candid Kirby Smart was about the missing pass rush for Georgia. They haven't had much of one. in the first couple of games. Now, Mike, I mostly attribute that to the fact that, you know, Austin Peay wants to play fast. South Carolina wanted to play very fast at the expense of even trying to run the ball, which has been a little bit of a controversy in Columbia there this week. So for me, you can explain the missing sacks and the missing hurries just really, you know, on the basis of the game plan that opponents for Georgia have tried here. I think that Middle Tennessee State this Saturday, if I had to guess, is probably going to be much the same way here. I mean, on a concern level for Georgia fans, where would you rank the idea of not having much of a pass rush thus far? Is this mostly attributed to the way that teams are approaching Georgia offensively, or is this the kind of thing that, you know, the Georgia front seven just not quite getting it done right now?
Well, I think that, you know, Georgia's home really isn't to put a lot of pressure. I think we've seen a lot of coverage. You know, when you blitz and you bring that extra defender, you know, you kind of leave your secondary out to dry. And, you know, Georgia really hasn't been pressed. They really haven't had to work too hard to put teams in long down and distance because they're doing a pretty good job against. But let's be real here. They haven't played anybody, you know, they haven't played an Auburn or an Alabama or a Washington or a Clemson. I mean, they played a South Carolina team, you know, that couldn't put up a fight for more than one half. I mean, heck, their fans were leaving the stadium. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's too early to read too much into it. I agree with you for sure that the opponents are game plan. They don't want to get their quarterbacks killed. They want to get the ball out quickly. And Georgia says, yeah, go ahead, throw the ball 2 or 3 yards downfield, and we're going to come up and hit your guys and make the tackles or break on the ball and make the interception. You know, you also haven't seen teams beat Georgia deep. Now, if you weren't getting any sacks and you were giving up big plays, yeah, then there'd be a concern. But as it was, I think South Carolina only completed one pass for more than 20 yards last week, and that was a coverage breakdown by Tyson Campbell. So too early to evaluate that. I'm not ready to call it a concern, but I'm certainly not ready to say that this front seven is measuring up to last year's front seven.
I think it's a really interesting point that maybe we'll start, you know, debating whether or not Georgia's not getting enough sacks when it starts giving up more deep throws, because obviously you have to stand in the pocket longer to give time for a deeper throw, and at that point, maybe more sacks come for the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll have plenty more coming up from Mike Griffith here on Dog Nation Daily. Before that, let me say some good news here. Congratulations to Georgia. UGA ranked the 13th best public university in the country, according to U.S. News and World Report. This is the third consecutive year the university has risen in the U.S. News ranking. Now, a key factor in the improvement is the ever-increasing support that Georgia has received from a lot of its alumni. In particular, the loyal alumni participation number is one of the factors that U.S. News and World Report use when it ranks its public universities. We've all come to expect high-quality education, athletic success, and traditions from the University of Georgia. Well, it's dedicated alumni that contribute that success every day. So those traditions that we all enjoy would not be possible without the support of many of the alumni who are listening right now here to Dog Nation Daily. And if you're interested in becoming a part of that and finding out how you can get involved, simply go to alumni.uga.edu. That's alumni.uga.edu and find out how you can be a part of the great things happening around the University of Georgia. All right, Mike, with that said, let me transition to some good news for Georgia on the practice front here this week when it comes to injuries. Not seeing a lot of Andrew Thomas, but seeing a lot more of Tyreek McGee, who looks healthy, at least based on the reports that I've read from you and Chip Towers here at DogNation.com. If Georgia can get him back as sort of a veteran, contributing in that sort of star role, maybe some there at safety as well, although Georgia's two safeties look pretty good right now, so maybe this is more of a nickelback star role for Tyreek McGee, I think that only helps. Give Georgia a little bit more experience there. You probably don't need him against Middle Tennessee State, but against Drew Locke 2 weeks from now, that becomes a pretty big deal because we know that Locke's going to try to throw it deep. He certainly did that to Georgia a year ago. How big of an issue do you think McGee's impending return is here?
Yeah, it was good to see him on the practice field last week. Obviously, they're going to bring him back little by little. He played in the game.
Sure.
You know, I'm not sure if I'm ready to say he's 100% yet, but he is a guy that Kirby wants to have worked in there because you're right. It is going to be a test at Missouri. That's the next big test. I mean, in Middle Tennessee is a nice warm-up game for that. You know, they're going to use multiple receivers. You're going to see McGee get more action, as you said, Brandon, in the star, which is kind of that nickelback, that fifth DB. We'll probably see some dime. You know, the one area Kirby said he really wants more depth is in the secondary, and so this is really important to get McGee back. Depth is big. I can't stress enough, when you're playing for a national championship, as Georgia is, you know, it's almost like every week is sort of a playoff.
Yeah.
And there's just not much margin for error, and so you know, Kirby's done a really good job building this roster. He and Mel Tucker are really dialed in and knowing what they want. They want to play a lot of guys. They want to stay fresh. I think that was a factor, as I mentioned, against South Carolina. I think it'll be a factor against some of these pass-happy teams. And so to get a guy like McGee back, an experienced guy, a guy you can send out there that can, you know, cover, that can come up and run support, this is important for Georgia.
Let me talk to you about Demetrius Robertson here for a moment because, you know, Mike, I said this on the show on Monday, that if you go back and look at our Northside Hospital postgame show from Saturday, even in a blowout victory, I think the most common comment or question we got in our comment section there on video was about Demetrius Robertson, why he wasn't targeted, you know, how much was he playing, what's going on with D-Rob, not really showing up in the stat sheet there. And, you know, Kirby Smart sort of pushed back against that narrative a couple times now, sort of pointing out that he was in the game, even if he wasn't getting the stats. And the point that I made before you joined us is that one way or another, I think this is a debate worth having for Georgia fans in terms of what Robertson's role in this team is going to be. Because as good as Mecole Hardman looked on Saturday and as great as Terry Godwin was in 2017, and once he's, you know, back fully healthy again in a game that matters, I think he'll have a big role. I still believe that Georgia's best deep threat is going to be Robertson. And as a fan, I'm hopeful that, you know, he sort of earns the chance to catch those balls there. I mean, what do you make of what's going on right now with Demetrius Robertson in terms of being on the field but not necessarily being targeted?
Well, you know, it was a pretty telling quote when Kirby was talking about how much pride they take in their blocking, and he threw out about five jersey numbers, and none of them were Demetrius Robertson's jerseys. So, you know, one, you wonder about his playing time and where he's at in the rotation, and, you know, if Demetrius has shown he can block like the other Georgia receivers. I mean, Kirby's serious about this. There's enough depth there that, you know, if you're not blocking, you're not playing. I mean, that's something he really sells. That's a really big key to a lot of these Georgia runs is, you know, if you've got a receiver that's willing to go out there and tie up the DB and fight for his teammates, I mean, that's what enables a 13-yard DeAndre Swift run to turn into 56 yards. So I think that's one. I think that's a fair question to ask only because Kirby left his number out when he went down the four or five receivers he said were blocking really well. And then secondly, you know, he said there were some passes that were called and that just wasn't the read. And, you know, Jake Fromm's not a guy that's going to force the ball because he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
You know, Georgia's got so many different weapons. And, hey, the other team knows who number 16 is. They're not stupid. You know, you don't think Will Muschamp took note of that 72-yard run in the opener?
Sure.
And, you know, Georgia's got the kind of offense, much like a pro-style offense, where if you take A, B, and C away, they'll go to option D. They're not going to fight you on it because they've got enough good answers. That's why it's so important to have that pass-first point guard, Jake Fromm, back there that can find the open man, that can make the right read, that can say, you know what, they've got a safety over the top on Demetrius Robertson. Why in the world do I want to throw into double coverage when I've got Mecole Hardman open one-on-one on the perimeter on the other side? So, you know, that's Jake doing a good job spreading the ball. It's South Carolina doing a good job being identifying Demetrius Robertson. And teams are going to have to pick their poison. And Jim Chaney is very good at exploiting the other team's weakness. So I think it's a combination of those things, Brandon. I think it's a combination of one. Just because, again, as I mentioned, Kirby didn't mention Demetrius Robertson with the receivers that were blocking the best. So I think we can ask the question if that affects where he's at in the rotation right now. And then secondly, Kirby said there were some calls made and some, you know, for Demetrius. I don't think he's going to stand up there and lie. So there probably were some plays called, and that wasn't the read for Jake. Jake said that wasn't the coverage he wanted. When your quarterback's completing 15 out of 18 passes leading you to a national championship, you know, it's kind of hard to complain.
I want to finish with a quarterback question here in a moment. Let me piggyback off, though, one more thing you said about Demetrius Robertson there. It reminds me a lot of what Terry Godwin may have gone through back in 2016, my couple years ago in Kirby Smart's first year. Smart has been very candid that Godwin had a lot to learn in terms of being a physical receiver and embrace that part of the game. And in 2016, I don't think that Kirby felt like he was necessarily doing that. But in 2017, obviously, clearly Godwin's stature had risen in Kirby's mind because he became a big part of the game plan. I just wonder for Demetrius Robertson if he has enough time in a Georgia uniform to have the same sort of metamorphosis that occurred for Godwin. You know, is Robertson going to able to quickly sort of pick up on, here's the standard at Georgia and here's how I fit into that? Because as a fan, I think Georgia fans hope that he does here by the end of the year, because as I said, you know, and I agree with you that Fromm's not going to force to anybody because he doesn't have to, but at a certain point in time, if Robertson sort of is with the program and kind of is doing the things that Jim Chaney and Kirby Smart need for him to, that's just an additional luxury that Georgia can enjoy there.
No doubt about it. You know, and Kirby said the objective is for this team to get better every week so it can be its best at the end of the year.
All right, so let's talk about quarterbacks here to kind of wrap this thing up a little bit. I talked off the top of the program about, you know, riders like Dennis Dodd, who I don't think is intentionally trying to be unfair to Georgia, but I think accidentally unfair by lumping the Fromm Fields quarterback situation at Georgia into the same category of Alabama with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa and Clemson with Kelly Bryant and Trevor Lawrence. Mike, my point here is, the only reason why we're talking about two quarterbacks at Clemson, Alabama, is because the incumbent starters, either in Jalen Hurts' case, played so poorly that he had to be benched, or in the case of Kelly Bryant, mostly unspectacular, which opens the door for somebody else to kind of come in. At Jake Fromm, at Georgia, you've got no such issues here. Through a season plus, he's been rock solid as the Georgia starting quarterback. And conversely, Justin Fields hasn't shown any of the sort of penchant for drama the way that some of the Alabama quarterbacks have, and, you know, maybe some other quarterbacks around college football have done here. So my point is, I think it's sort of unfair to put the Georgia quarterbacks in the same category of some of these other two quarterback situations. How do you see what's happening in Georgia right now?
Well, I mean, everybody's starting to get on the bandwagon. You know, everybody's starting to pay attention. You know, they talked themselves into Georgia being upset by South Carolina. They talked themselves into Georgia not having the staying power. I mean, you know, heck, we went to SEC Media Days and 3/4 of the people picked Alabama to win the league, even though, you know, Georgia, you know, was a better team than Alabama for all but, what, the last 2 minutes or whatever they were winning that game. So, you know, it is what it is. A lot of Johnny-come-latelys to the party, and Dennis is a friend of mine. He's got a difficult job as a national writer. He can't watch all the games. He probably should have taken some time and called me, and I would have explained it to him, but you know, these guys are under pressure to produce, and what he does know is there are some people on Twitter and on social media, not Justin Fields, not his family, but maybe some fans that picked Justin Fields to win the quarterback job, and they're mad they were wrong. And so now they're throwing a fit, and they're talking about calling Jake Fromm at halftime in the South Carolina game, or they're talking about Kirby Smart making a big mistake, and as if this guy hasn't already proven he's a championship coach. And so, you know, I tell fans, be careful what you wish for. If you want to make a lot of noise, if you want to complain when you're beating South Carolina by 31 points that the other quarterback should be throwing it around the park, you're inviting this kind of attention. And this is the type of attention that Kirby Smart will warn his players and parents about and say, lock out the outside noise. Because
yep.
Sometimes people hear what they want to hear, Brandon. And if Georgia fans want to keep stirring up this quarterback situation, and there's some of them that do, they want to keep complaining. They're not happy with Jake Fromm. That's not good enough that he's 15 for 18 because they think they've got Cam Newton right now. And here's the thing. Justin Fields is a tremendous talent, unbelievable talent. But that was his first road game. Let him kick a few snaps. We saw in the opener he panicked and ran the ball three of his first five snaps against Austin Peay. Took a really hard shot. Tried to run over a guy. And Kirby's holding his breath because, again, it's a 15-game season. And he needs Justin Fields' help because we don't know what's going to happen to Jake Fromm when things get tough, when Auburn comes to – or when they go to LSU. Jake's going to get hit, okay? There's going to be some shots that Jake's going to take. And you better have Justin Fields in the bullpen if you want to make another national championship run, and you better bring him along. And that's what they're trying to do. But South Carolina – that wasn't a place to do it. It was his first road game. I think we're going to see more Justin against Middle Tennessee than we did against Austin Peay. Even I think that George will take care of business early, run his team out of the stadium. And you might even get to see him play a little bit more on the road against Missouri if his defense can stand up to Drew Locke. That's a question mark. But right now, I just tell Georgia fans, take a step back. You know, enjoy this. You know, Justin Fields signed on to Georgia knowing exactly what he was getting into. He saw Jake Fromm play well. He knows he's got to compete. He knows he's got to get experience. It's a long haul, okay? He doesn't have to do it this year. He's going to get better. He's going to get more experience. Next year's off-season quarterback battle may have a little bit more drama to it. But right now, Georgia's in great shape at quarterback, Brandon.
Mike, fascinating stuff. We appreciate you being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. We love reading at DogNation.com every single day, and we will look forward to speaking to you on our show again very soon.
Appreciate it.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff there from Mike. Strong words on the quarterback situation, and obviously it's a pretty compelling topic around here, and I think it'll be interesting how much we do see of Fields on Saturday, but the overall point, I completely agree with Mike, is that Jake Fromm, if there was ever any doubt about his status as the Georgia starter, I think it's been cemented even more here through two games thus far this season. Yes, I know he had the bad pick on Saturday, but Jeff Sintel brought up a really good point about this, and I don't know if he said this off the air to me or on the air. We should ask Jeff about this when he joins us on Friday. If you go back and look at Fromm after he threw the pick against South Carolina on Saturday, what I thought to the naked eye was the worst throw I'd ever seen Jake Fromm make. You know, Jeff, who was standing on the Georgia sideline, you know, he said there wasn't a lot of, like, conversation between Kirby and Fromm on that. It was a quick conversation. Jeff says that Kirby then shook his head and they just sort of moved on, which maybe makes you think that maybe the throw from Fromm wasn't as bad as it initially appeared. Maybe there was a miscommunication about the play between Fromm and a wide receiver here. So sometimes in football, things aren't exactly the way they look to be, and maybe that was the case of that on Saturday, at least based on the eyewitness account from Jeff Sintel, who was on the Georgia sideline. We can talk to him more about that on Friday. But other than that, you know, Fromm has been virtually spotless all season long, and we'll see if that continues here as Georgia has one more tune-up before it gets into SEC play for good for most of the rest of September and October. All right, time for our SEC through. Before you kind of move through this, let me remind you that if you got some thoughts on some of the big games that are coming up this weekend, and by the way, tomorrow we'll do our MyBookie Best Bets, and we'll give our thoughts on terms of who wins these games and by how much. But if you think you can be more right than me, the fact is you probably can. That means you ought to play with the pros play at MyBookie, and right now you should take advantage of a great offer. Now listen, here's the thing you already know about MyBookie. They are the home of the fast, no-hassle payout. There's nothing worse than when you get a bet down, you're a winner, and then you have to wait and wait and wait to get that payout. You don't want that. That's why you want MyBookie, because they get the fast, no-hassle payout to you right away when you are the winner there. And even better than that, right now when you use the promo code DOGNATION, all one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be, DAWG, DOGNATION, use that promo code, you can get your first deposit match dollar for dollar. But you got to go right now. Use the promo code DOGNATION. Simply find MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. Find them online. Use the promo code DOGNATION. Then you can play, you can win, you can get paid. It is simple as that with MyBookie, but you got to use the promo code DOGNATION. All right, Forbes is out with its, and they do this, I guess, every so often. It's their revenue list, the most valuable college football teams in America. Now, the tricky thing about this isn't for last year. It's the most recent data, but it's from like 2014 through 2016, something kind of weird like that. Georgia's 16th on this list. My guess is in future years, they're going to go way up on the list. There are a lot of SEC teams ranked ahead of Georgia right now, including even South Carolina at 15. You got Florida at 10, Tennessee at 11, Arkansas at 13, Auburn's at 8, Alabama's at 4, Texas A&M's at 1. Believe it or not, for the period measured here, Texas A&M generated $148 million worth of revenue, $107 million worth of profit. Apparently, according to the Forbes article, a lot of this kind of comes from actual donations. Georgia's donations lately have been through the roof, so in future years on this list, I think that Georgia's going to be much higher. I'm also a little bit different than some people. I don't necessarily know that this matters as much as we all want to think it does in terms of if championships were easy to buy, A&M would have already bought one. You know, listen, you know, Georgia's winning on the field right now, and because of that, more money comes, but I don't think it works the other way around. You can win and make more money, but I don't think you can sort of raise more money and then start winning. I just don't think it works that way necessarily, but I would guess that in future years on a list like this from Forbes, you'll see the dogs a lot higher. All right, I am wrong about plenty, but I believe this is another example of something that I am very, very right about. And when I started saying this back in the summer, back in the spring, I think people assumed that once again I was just some sort of Georgia homer looking to take a shot at a Georgia rival for no good reason. But what I said at the time was that the relationship between Philip Fulmer, the Tennessee athletic director, and Jeremy Pruitt, the Vols head coach, was going to be a tricky one because Fulmer is a guy that likes to be in charge. Fulmer is a guy that likes to be high profile. And Jeremy Pruitt has a history. You can go back and read the pages of DogNation.com for more on this. Has a history of not exactly being the world's greatest employee. Two strong personalities. How will they coexist? My prediction was they would not be able to coexist very well. Now, maybe another example here of how this is heading for a disaster in Knoxville. Let me show you what our buddy Jesse Simonton has written for VolQuest.com. I saw this on a number of message boards. Simonton reports from Tennessee practice that the most interesting and notable note from Tuesday's practice was that Philip Fulmer's presence on the field. Now, listen to this. This is an imminent disaster. Simonton writes that the former Hall of Fame coach has been at every practice this fall, but today, Fulmer wasn't in khakis and a jacket, which is the typical uniform for an athletic director. Simonton reports that he was in full sweats with a practice outline in his hand. Philip Fulmer wants to be the Tennessee coach. Nothing has ever been more apparent to me than that. He does not want Jeremy Pruitt to have full control of this program. And I think we are heading for a disaster here. I think Pruitt working with Philip Fulmer over the long haul is just something that's just bound not to work very well. And the fact that Fulmer's dressed like a coach at practice pretending to be a coach, how much do you think that must get on Jeremy Pruitt's nerves? All right, a couple other quick stories here. We have not talked a lot yet about LSU-Auburn, but that's a huge game this weekend. We'll talk more about that. I thought that Glenn Gilbo had a really good piece for the USA Today Network. Looking at the fact, and you probably missed this, you know, LSU played one of these paycheck games last week after looking really good against Miami. Not a very good offensive performance, especially in the second half for LSU this past week. When you look ahead to the LSU-Auburn game on Saturday, getting something going with Joe Burrow, getting something going with his LSU offense, I think it's going to be crucial. Now, I'll give you a little bit of a preview. I don't think LSU does well against Auburn on Saturday. But when you think about Georgia playing against the Tigers on the road coming up in a few weeks, watch that LSU offense against Auburn on Saturday. Good stuff with Glenn Gilbo kind of previewing that. And then one more thing to kind of get to here. Sports Illustrated, Joe Neesman was the writer, kind of looked at all the first-year coaches in terms of first year of their new job, and you know, a lot of them have already lost games, and the subject of Florida comes up. And the word that Joan uses to sort of write about this is the idea of a rebuild, that maybe after what happened against Kentucky on Saturday, maybe the situation at Florida is more of a rebuild than many people realize. Now, here on Dog Nation Daily, we never had to have that brought to our attention. We were calling it that well before Dan Mullen even got the job. But if it really is true, if this really is a rebuild, the problem for Florida, as many of you are very well aware, is they're doing worse in recruiting than they are on the field. And the situation at Florida may actually get a lot worse before it gets better. And here around Dog Nation Daily, we're going to enjoy that every step of the day, every step of the way. We'll make that your SEC through. All right, and now back here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Let me stay on Florida here just for a moment, because I have to admit, you know, we do kind of enjoy this kind of stuff from time to time. Brian Jones is an analyst for CBS Sports, and they do those like TV shows where they, you know, spout off opinions and make their case for things that are going to happen in football. And Jones at one point in time talked about why he thought Florida would make the college football playoff. That obviously looks terrible now in terms of prediction, and his colleagues rightly gave him some grief for that. Georgia fans have been giving him grief for that, too. And here is Brian Jones from the CBS Sports Network kind of taking his medicine in this regard. I thought this was too juicy not to play. Enjoy this.
Not having great starts. Nothing are more consistent in this country than death, taxes, the Madden curse, and Brian Jones' kiss of death for the national championship. Take a look at this graphic. Expert analyst picked Florida to play in the national title game.
Hello.
Mm. What, how's that going for you right now,
hey,
BJ?
Now,
let's take a listen real quick
to
your own words, what was going to happen this season.
The Gators are going to have a turnaround.